Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Sunday locally here on The Fan in D.C. Steve Zabin with you and the great Chicago with a perfect song for today. Does anybody really know what time it is? Turn it up, Wesley! Go ahead, people, complain about, oh my God, I'm all screwed up. How do I fix my oven clock, my microwave clock? Don't worry. You'll get through it. Turn it up. I'm a huge fan of daylight savings time because I know what we're coming towards. We're coming towards the long, glorious, warm summer days where we're out recreating deep into the evening. Let's go, people. Welcome to spring. Well, I care. I know what time it is. It's 11:01 Daylight Savings Time, or DST, as we say hello and welcome on a Sports Sunday, March 8, 2026. I am Steve Zabin. You can reach me at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet me at Zabe Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. I'm a big Daylight Savings Time proponent. And I'm a willing warrior to battle any dum-dums who want to poke their head out and complain. Well, we should just have one time. I'll get to that in a second. But first, we are 1 week from Selection Sunday. And if you're expecting anything other than five lumps of coal in your March Madness stocking from the local teams, you are crazy. Because the coal is a-coming. First lump delivered by American. They lost to Boston University 75-73. They're out of the Patriot League tournament, and they finished their year 16-16. Woof. You got Mason and G-Dub in the A-10 tournament starting Thursday. Mason plays at 2 o'clock against an opponent to be determined, not to be announced, not TBA, but TBD. There's a distinction. Depending on the previous games that go on. Number 9 seed GW will play Thursday night against Fordham. GW has been, 17-14 on the year. It would take a miracle for them to run to the title. Mason, meanwhile, had a good year, 23-8, but I still think it's a long shot for them in the A-10. Then we got Maryland and Georgetown. Georgetown at least won yesterday. They beat Providence. Providence having a similarly awful year to Georgetown and to Marquette. Marquette, who rose up and stunned UConn, which may have hurt, may have damaged, may have nicked and drawn blood on their chances for a number one seed. We'll see about that. Also, Bobby Hurley was kicked out of the game. Danny Hurley kicked out of the game. I want to talk more about that in just a second. Or Dan Hurley. Dan? They beat Providence, Georgetown did, and they will play Wednesday at Madison Square Garden against 6-seed DePaul in the Big East tournament. Georgetown's going nowhere. Maryland finishes their season today against Illinois at Xfinity, 3 o'clock, just a couple hours from now, on Fox on television. I would imagine the crowd will be very light. If the weather, as I look out the window, clears up just a bit on what is kind of it's a mixed day. Warm out there at about 69 degrees right now, but I would imagine the people that go to see the end of this home slate for this awful season for the Terps under Buzz Williams, the season we shall never talk about again, we hope never happens again, They finished today against Illinois as massive underdogs, 3 o'clock on Fox out there at College Park. But that's it. Maryland will play again Tuesday because they have to against Oregon in the Big Ten tournament. And Oregon is also terrible, so there is a off chance they win, and they got to play again the next day, which I don't even know if anyone involved in Maryland basketball wants to play one more game than is necessary. In fact, I bet you they would, if they were offered, like, you know what, we're not going to play these bottom teams. We changed our mind. You know, we added this in as the Big Ten tournament. We're going to change our mind. Never mind. I bet the Terps would go, okay, great, cool. We're going to go limp into the long offseason, pray that the cavalry with this top five recruiting class by Buzz shows up and as good as they say they are, and let's never go through this again. Kind of a real bummer, kind of depressing, because I'm old enough to remember when we had a year in which all five made the big dance. I'm old enough to remember when Maryland and Georgetown clashed in the Sweet 16 in a game that we were super geeked about. I'm old enough to remember when Maryland won the national championship and went to the Final Four. It's just disappointing because March is such a great time and it's easy to get excited. And here we are 1 week from Selection Sunday. There is talk, by the way, of expanding the tournament. That would be a completely idiotic thing. But you know, whenever there's television money lying around, the suits and the commissioners and the university presidents will be like, I smell a big pile of money. Let's go get the money. Well, here's a number for you I'm going to throw out about thinking of expanding the tournament. The number is 9, all right? And the number 9 applies to this little statoid. It's not quite a stat of the day. It's not a factoid. It's a statoid. Of the 7 last Lenardi in teams and Lenardi's first 5 out teams, that's 12 teams total, 9 of them were in action yesterday. Care to guess what their records were? The teams that are on the bubble, off the bubble, fighting to get in. Totally deserving because, you know, look at our Q1 wins, our quad one wins. Of the 9 teams in action yesterday, none of them won. 0-9. And so, yeah, let's expand the tournament to 74 teams or whatever someone wants to do. They just want to keep adding and keep adding. But they say, what does it hurt? We just add another layer of games. We'll just start a week early. We'll do this. We'll do that. Yesterday's bubble teams, Virginia Tech, losers. Sorry, Wesley. Hokies, go down. Missouri, SMU, Cincinnati, NC State, New Mexico, California, Indiana, Auburn, Texas, and USC. Of course, they should not expand the tournament. However, I am already girding myself for the day that they really, finally, mortally wound this great event once and for all. Once it doesn't fit on one of these, as I rustle a sheet of paper, and you could say, oh, we can fit 74 in here. We'll just jam them inside like we do with the play-in games. Once it escapes the bounds of a single sheet of paper, you're done. You're cooked. It's not ever going to be what it once was. Hell, I don't even think we need 68. But you see what's going on with the jockeying now when it comes to Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio on Friday night. Thrilling 110-108 win over arch rival, the Bobcats of Ohio. If you're from Ohio, you know that's a big one. They win close, which Miami of Ohio has been doing the last week and a half ever since they got on everybody's radar. But they finished the regular season 31-0. 31-0. All you want to talk about scheduling and KenPom rankings, et cetera, et cetera. 31 for 31. That is super hard to do, and especially as it started coming down to the very end, where I believe that Miami played a bit tight, and they were getting a superhuman effort from every opponent they faced because everyone wanted to be the ones to go, yep, we beat them. We're the ones that clipped them. Of course Miami should be in the tournament. And if that means you have to put them and Akron in, Akron, oh, by the way, is your favorite in the OVC. Akron's probably a better team. They're like 26-4. They've had a tougher schedule. They've only lost once in conference. The one loss was to Miami. But what bothers me is that here is something that is objectively awesome, objectively worth singing the praises of. A team in Division I basketball went 31-0. Let's celebrate this. And instead, all it's turned into is a big old food fight and a cat fight amongst the punditry and the tearing down of what Miami has done because of strength of schedule and because of Ken Pom and the other nerd numbers. 31-0. Anyone who's ever played sports at any level and knows what it takes to win a game knows that that's impressive. 31-0. We'll see. It's going to be a week of very intriguing drama between now and next Sunday night at about 7 o'clock. Miami on Thursday plays UMass to start their tournament play. And I'm hoping they go undefeated so there's not a debate. But I kind of feel like they might be vulnerable. We'll see. Duke avenges their loss to North Carolina. Not their one loss, but their loss to North Carolina earlier in the year. They did so with Carolina without their star player, Caleb Wilson, who broke his hand during the week and is gone for the rest of the season. That is a huge blow for North Carolina, obviously. And even though they were hanging in last night, second half, Duke just swarmed them. My goodness, Duke is a unit with their defense. It's been fashionable as of late to kind of shade Duke and fade Duke in the tournament. I think it's going to be hard to do that this time around. You might have heard as well in the previous segment with our guy Linnell's show, they played the soundbite of Dick Vitale talking about Kentucky, who lost yesterday with their $22 million payroll. They finished ninth place in the SEC, the most expensive NIL team ever assembled for basketball. $22 million for a sport that starts five players. And Dick Vitale, I thought, was on point saying, you know what? This is a huge disappointment for this much money. I know Linnell painted it as, hey, you're shading the guys who are getting some cash. I think it's just Dick Vitale calling balls and strikes on this. You're going to spend that much money, you better be a lot better than what Kentucky was this year. Started out very slow, a lot of chatter early on. Then they kind of got some traction and calmed down just a bit, but they pull into port as a massive disappointment in college basketball. Of course, when it comes to money, this is now going to be a thing because this week, on Friday, President Trump assembled a panel, or roundtable, if you will, on Capitol Hill, titled Saving College Sports. It had an absurd number of people who were invited, and it was only supposed to last an hour. I think there was like 45 official people invited. No athletes. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But at the end of it, which it almost took 2 hours, Trump said, I will be signing an executive order, and we will be getting sued. And then we'll see where it goes from there. It is not a black and white. It is not an easy issue to tackle. The money is going to overwhelm many athletic departments. It is not in any way sustainable. And the NCAA, for all the people screaming about do something, they can't. Their hands are tied by antitrust and by losing in court. So at some point, something's going to have to give. It'd be nice if the people involved could navigate a way so it doesn't bounce in a direction that they don't want. All right, coming up, We'll talk some NFL. There are trades happening now. The official tampering period begins tomorrow. The Commanders have needs. We'll talk later on with Michael Phillips from our sister station in Richmond, covering the Commanders and Redskins for many years. Be good to connect with Michael about what the Commanders could be thinking. And we'll also hear from a segment I did with B. Mitch earlier this week about Trey Johnson, who is officially memorialized by friends and family and former teammates. One of the great Redskins who tragically died way too young and did so in the presence of his beautiful family. We'll talk about that, and I'll also play you a chunk of our show from Friday. Coming up, though, the NFL is a behemoth league with no known predators, and yet they've got franchises in small market Buffalo, New York, who just built a gleaming new stadium, and they have one in tiny Green Bay, Wisconsin, where they already have a beautiful stadium that's been refurbished. All of this thanks to TV money, revenue sharing, and in the case of the Packers, the foresight of one and leadership of one Bob Harlan, who passed away this week. We'll talk to Wayne Larrivee, longtime voice of the Packers, about that next. It is a Sports Sunday right here on The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, things are starting to heat up in the NFL. We had the Max Crosby trade yesterday. I tried to get a hold of my boy, Nick Ashew. Nick was the president of the Go Get Max Crosby, spend at least a number one pick, if not more, to get him. And lo and behold, the Ravens surrendered two number one picks. So even though my boy Nick is disappointed, he is also vindicated because the price was the price. Now, will he be worth it? We'll see. Time to talk to the play-by-play voice of a team that also spent two number ones on a premier edge rusher in the form of Micah Parsons. He is Wayne Larrivee, 28 years behind the mic for the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Wayne. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Zabe. How you doing?
Doing good. What did you think of the Max Crosby trade? I mean, I don't think Max is in Micah's category quite, obviously, when healthy, but he's really good. I mean, the Packers traded for Micah. They got incredible production before it ended, unfortunately, in a heap in Denver.
Yeah, you know, Crosby's in that neighborhood, though. There's no doubt. I'm not sure he's better than Micah Parsons. I don't believe that at all, but I do believe he's on that same level of pass rushers. And the thing that he brings to the party is his leadership. You know, I think, obviously, his numbers are his numbers, okay, and they're really good. But I think the intangible things that players like this bring to the locker room, Parsons did the same thing in Green Bay. I think Crosby will have the same impact in Baltimore. The things they bring aside from what we see on the field on Sundays are almost as important.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the whole thing about number one picks is that there's a great debate: do teams overrate them or underrate them? And I guess the answer is it depends on how well you navigate post-trade if you give up number one picks. The Rams, as you saw, Wayne, gave up yet another first-round pick to get Trent McDuffie. They've only had one of their own number one picks the last 8 years.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And here's the thing about number one picks, first-round picks, or any draft pick. Who's making the pick?
Yeah.
That's Amen. The value of the draft pick. You know what I mean? Seriously, yeah. It sounds kind of stupid, but really, who's making the pick? Because, first-round draft picks get blown every spring. the value of that draft pick lies squarely with who's making the selection once you come to that draft.
Yeah, and there's also a big drop-off once you get past 15 or 16, usually. So the top 12 to 15 are much more valuable than the bottom half, so it all depends. Okay, let me talk about what is a great man in the NFL who passed this week, Bob Harlan, the former team president of the Green Bay Packers, a guy who presided over the franchise and really helped return it to glory. You know Bob, you knew Bob very well, you understand his impact. How do you describe to people outside of Green Bay just how important Bob Harlan was?
Well, you know, I've said this, and it sounds like hyperbole, but it really isn't. When you look at the Green Bay Packers and their history, there are two names that come to the fore. Obviously, Curly Lambeau, who began the whole thing, and Vince Lombardi, who basically took the Packers to the top in the television age of the 1960s. After that, after Lombardi left, the Packers went almost 30 years without really competing at all for championships. They had like five winning seasons. They made two playoff runs. You know, there was a point in the late 80s, and I knew Bob at the time, and I was working in Chicago at that time. There was a point in the 80s when people around the league said, you know, I don't think Green Bay will ever be able to win in this system again. I don't think it'll ever happen. And, you know, also held, he was worried about that as well, was Bob Harlan. And he had just taken over as the president and CEO of the team. And the other aspect that people on the outside don't realize, Bob is the first non-Green Bay native to have ascended to that level in the organization, president and CEO. That was huge at that time. People don't understand the context of what happened almost 40 years ago. That was big in terms of the Packers. And what Bob did to revive that organization, the moves he made, and there were many, but the one move he made was, we're going to split this organization. Business is not going to interfere with football and vice versa. And then he hired Ron Wolf, whom he had known from a previous interview in Green Bay, and Ron was his man all along. And the one thing Ron demanded was that he would have say over everything that happened from a football standpoint. And Bob had confidence in him to give him that role. And that's really what turned the franchise around. And then Ron made the moves, you know, Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre, Reggie White, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the silent non-decisions often that are the most crucial. And when you talk about the Packers, the miracle child of the NFL, no owner. So the team president is the closest thing to the owner, but he has limited power. And it's a transient thing where, you know, you turn 70, they push you out like they did with Mark Murphy. So you had here in, you know, Harlan, the first non-native that is now running the local beloved football team, the iconic Green Bay Packers. And he made that bold decision to go, look, we're not getting involved in the football side of things. And the crucial non-decision that I saw an anecdote about this week, Wayne, is that when Ron Wolf said, we're going to get Brett Favre from Atlanta and we'll spend a number one pick if we have to, there was many in the organization, they were like, oh, what are we doing? This guy's a backup. He's rumored to have alcohol problems. And I believe it was Harlan who said at the time, look, Ron is our first real GM, not just a coach slash GM. If we kneecap him on this, we'll never get another GM again. And he helped clear the way for that trade. Did I get the shape of that right?
Yeah, no, you did. And I remember Bob told me this story. He said they were in Atlanta, and, you know, this is Ron had just been named general manager, and they're in Atlanta, and there, Ron said to Bob, he says, I got to go down on the field. I really want to watch this backup quarterback for the Falcons. By the way, nobody could pronounce his name at the time. Right. So he goes down, and then he comes back upstairs, and he sits next to Bob in the press box, and he says to Bob, you know, we're going to send a number one first-round draft choice to Atlanta for Brett, the backup. He had explained to Bob who the quarterback was. They were going to spend a first-round draft choice on, who, by the way, had been a second-round draft choice, and Jerry Glanville, the current coach of the Falcons at the time, said, we have no use for this guy whatsoever. So, you know, all Bob sat there and said, well, he said, Ron, I told you when you took this job, you would have full say over all football decisions. If you think this is what's right, go ahead and do it. And that was as simple as it was.
Yeah. And the rest is history, as they say. And he also, Bob Harlan, was crucial in shepherding through a 4-cent tax in Brown County in Wisconsin to help pay for much needed upgrades, renovations to Lambeau Field. And that tax, 4 cents was only passed by like 56%, as I recall.
You know, his wife Madeline thought he was going to kill himself the way he campaigned for that. He was like a politician. He was going to the factories during shift changes, you know, to try to talk to the guys and say, hey, we really need this done. And believe me, you know, on the outside, everyone on the outside said, well, that's a slam dunk in Green Bay, isn't it? Well, right. It wasn't. It was not. And, you know, the fact that they barely got that thing through, Bob Harlan got that thing through. His sheer personality, his work that he did in selling that to, you know, voter by voter, he basically sold them this program, and this would be good for Green Bay, and he was so right. But again, none of this happens unless the committee makes Bob the president, CEO of the team in 1989, and then Bob is the guy who basically made the decisions that turned a historic but moribund franchise around and made it what it is today. And 30 years later, they still win games, and they still win occasionally championships. It's not that easy, obviously, but they're relevant year in, year out. And that's something that hasn't happened in a 30-year period in the history of the team.
Yeah. Hell of a story. What a life. What a legend. Rest in peace, Bob Harlan. And for those that may not know, yes, his son is Kevin, your colleague, who is a excellent play-by-play man as well. So there are deep Green Bay roots there. So big fan.
Absolutely.
Big fan.
Yep,
right,
absolutely.
There. All right, free agency is about to begin. I can't wait. I know you're watching every player's Instagram accounts because that's where the news first breaks, and then it sometimes unbreaks, like in the case of Rashawn Gary this week, which is a wild thing. I just need to know because I know you're a big skier. Did you get any decent snow this year?
No, not out west. We didn't. All the good stuff is in New England. Yeah. But we're going back. We're counting on the fact that there will be some snow in the west in March.
Eventually, hopefully so.
Yeah.
New England snow, ugh. You got to go west for the best stuff usually, but Colorado did not get it this year.
No,
right.
No.
Wayno, great to talk to you, my friend. Thank you.
Zabe, good to talk to you. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, indeed. Wayne Larrivee, the 28 years and counting voice of the Green Bay Packers, also was the Bears play-by-play voice for a long time as well. And he is also a closet draft Nick. This guy loves the NFL draft. He loves prepping for the draft, researching for the draft, and everything else. But it's interesting that when it comes to stadiums and owners, we here in D.C. with the Commanders and with the new Harris regime, who's doing phenomenal, by the way. We talked a couple weeks ago about the report cards from the Players Association that weren't supposed to be public and they leaked anyway. How well Josh Harris and his team have moved the grades from the bottom up to near the top. With a stadium now on the way, which was also a bit of a miracle, that required obviously politicians bending and cajoling here in the district, the franchise is set for a really good trajectory with the owner. But it's going to be a crucial offseason starting, well, right now, to be honest. It's already started with the decisions being made, such as to let Tyler Biadasz walk, and then pretty soon we're going to start seeing some money flying. And I want to know, where do you want to see the money going? Because there are needs all over the place. Edge, corner, wideout, tight end, depth, and more. The Commanders did re-sign Jake Moody, their kicker, to a one-year deal for a modest amount of money. That's fine. I'm not a huge fan. He was good for six games for the Commanders, 10 for 11 on field goals, 10 for 11 on extra points. There's some other interesting kicker signings going on out there, including Brandon Aubrey, who wants a ton of money from the Dallas Cowboys or somebody. Also on the Dallas front, did you see Dak Prescott called off his wedding, which is in a month after his bachelor weekend and his bride-to-be's bachelorette weekend? Oh, we got to get into that. I've been to the websites that purport to have the tea, and it's good. But hey, I hope it works out. Maybe they can still put it back on again. I don't know how canceled it is, but still. And of course, the jokes are flying, which is Dak got too close to a ring, and he instantly got uncomfortable. They write themselves, basically. Coming up, daylight savings time. It makes perfect sense unless you're a moron, and I'll tell you why. It's Sports Sunday here on this March 8th in the DMV.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep your head on a swivel today regarding the NFL. There's going to be a lot of reports that come out as the official tampering period begins tomorrow. And always squint real hard as you're scrolling your Twitter as to the actual account that's tweeting it, because there's a lot of these, you know, fake news prank sites out there, you know, that look similar, like Adam Schefter. Or in college basketball, the No 3 account, not On 3 Sports, which is a legit outfit, but No 3 Sports. And they got a blue check mark and the logo looks the same. I almost got by this. Sources say Kentucky basketball has had talks about dismissing head coach Mark Pope after a disappointing ninth-placed SEC finish. I was like, whoa, what? They're going to fire it? And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's No 3 Sports. NFL trades are starting to happen, too, all over the place. Yeah, the Max Crosby trade to the Ravens, that was the big one. I mentioned earlier in the week, you had McDuffie being traded from the Chiefs to the Rams. You had Zaire Franklin traded from the Colts to Green Bay. Also, the Bills got DJ Moore last week for a second and a fifth. Many people thought that they overpaid for a wideout who's been declining in production. And there's going to be more here as we get set for the start of free agency. More on this with Michael Phillips and what the Commanders are due to go after at the top of next hour. Daylight savings time. It's the best. I love it. Oh, what are you talking about? Yeah. Everyone that's been bitching these last, I'd say it's been about a 10-year window now, that people started really making a ruckus online about, we need to just end this already. Just set the clocks and be done with it. Well, okay. Here's the thing. You have three choices. Choice A is to change the clocks twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, to maximize the amount of usable daylight for our leisure, recreational, and just life enjoyment activities. Choice B would be to put it on permanent daylight savings time, which some people have argued for, so we don't have to fuss with the forward and the back and the, you know, you're setting up a electronic device, and it always comes to that toggle. It says, do you want to set it to daylight savings or not? You're like, are you sure you're going to change it for me, though? How are you going to know what day it is? Because the day that we change over also flips. It's not set in stone. Or choice C, which is permanent non-daylight savings time. That would be the worst. Here's how it works. On the solstice, June 21st, we get 14 hours and 54 minutes of daylight, the summer solstice. Longest day of the year in D.C. I looked this up today. On the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, we get a mere 9 hours and 29 minutes. That's like 5 hours less. It's unbelievable. In June, the sun comes up at 5:43 a.m. Sun comes up. First crack of sunrise. Not just daylight, sunrise. And it sets, which is only the setting. You still get another half an hour of kind of like gloaming. It sets at 8:47. I love June 21st, the longest day of the year. So glorious. In the winter, it's much shorter. The sun comes up at 7:23 and it goes down at 4:49. If you advocate for permanent daylight savings time, you know you're advocating for the sun not coming up on December 21st and the weeks before and after at 8:23 a.m. In other words, pitch black until 8:23. No, you can't. And you say, well, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, we would have an extra hour of daylight in the winter. We'd have, the sun would not set till 5:49 instead of 4:49. What are you going to do with that extra hour? It's winter. You're doing nothing. 4:49, 5:49, doesn't matter. The point of daylight savings is to get the most usable daylight for the months and the seasons we like to do stuff in. And it's not that hard. Just set your clocks, people. Hawaii and Arizona, the only two states that do not participate, in part because Hawaii's got such a tropical location, their amount of daylight doesn't fluctuate very much. They don't kind of need it. And Arizona, well, you know what Arizona is like in the summer. The last thing that they need is an extra hour of burning, blazing sun in the afternoon and evening. All hail daylight savings time. I'm a fan. Coming up, top of next hour, Commanders and free agency. We'll talk to Michael Phillips, Richmond Times, well, formerly of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, I'm sad to say, but now with our sister station in Richmond. You're listening to Sports Sunday with the Zabe. Once upon a time in the Dan Snyder era, with money to spend in free agency, you have expected a splash for the Commanders, the likes of getting Trey Hendrickson, Alec Pierce, Isaiah Likely, and maybe one of the top corners, like to just go all in to get all these guys. It's not a good way to build a football team, and it's fraught with all kinds of downsides, but we learned that over 20 years. I'm not sure Dan ever learned it because he just loved the pursuit. He loved the flex of, look at how much money I'm going to spend on this guy who I think is pretty good because I'm a casual football fan as an owner. I'm not really of football. I don't understand it. I never played, but I got money and I'm going to spend. Could they get one of those three? And I'm just throwing three names out there. They may not be the three names that they're targeting. We'll talk to our friend Michael Phillips coming up here in just a little bit. If you bought a gift for Dak Prescott and his fiance, Miss Sarah Jane Ramos, I hope you kept the receipt because wedding's off. And according to sources, according to TMZ, the split is irreparable. The Cowboys superstar was on twin bachelor and bachelorette weekends when the word came down that, whoops, something happened. Now it's off. TMZ Sports has learned the two have broken up 1 month before their wedding was due to happen in Italy. They already have two children together, so they are entangled financially for, well, at least 16 to 17 years, I'm guessing. But something happened. Damn. Ms. Ramos is purportedly a wine expert, okay? And she had previously posted about her excitement to get married to the love of her life and how deserving Dak was of his new contract, the $240 million. But those posts have now been deleted. She did share several snaps from her bachelorette party, reports TMZ, with her closest friends earlier in the week, captioning the post, "I truly believe you can get through anything in life as long as you have really great friends. I love these girls so much." So I guess she was already knowing that, well, this marriage probably is not going to happen. This wedding could be called off. And I hope they are your friends. I mean, you're going to find out of the photos I looked at, and it's a fast group she runs with. I mean, a lot of beautiful young women with great bodies and bikinis, all matching bikinis, by the way, at their bachelorette party. You'll find out who the real friends are, because if you're no longer going to be the soon-to-be Mrs. Dak Prescott, quarterback, Dallas Cowboys, and you're just a gal with a lot of money through the legal system and two kids, I would say all the fake friends who just like the lifestyle, who like the connection, who like the proximity to an NFL star, they're going to probably fall off. Just saying. But hey, we wish those kids good luck. I did not get to buying them a gift because why would I buy a dirty, stinking blue star? Why would I buy a filthy cowboy a gift? Of course not. Coming up, Commanders, free agency, and more. Michael Phillips will talk with us next. You're listening to Sports Sunday right here on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.